Well, thank you, Jordan. That is so exciting just to hear what God's been doing through the storehouse and through different activities. I think it was just a few weeks ago, maybe all the weeks have kind of gone into one, but it was, I think it was last week, I said it was great to have Johnny B back on platform because I felt like I was Billy No Mates for the last few weeks. So it's great to have you back on platform. It really is. I have missed you so much. And I know that our congregation and our family have also so missed. And I thought this would be a great opportunity, firstly, to welcome you back, but then just to kind of raise maybe three questions and get some of your journey over the course of the last few weeks. Is that okay? So before we go into the question, what I'm going to ask you to do is, because I know you've all been on furlough at different times, and you're still on furlough part-time. So ladies first, Jackie, explain to our church family when you started furlough and what your kind of your role is currently.
So I went on furlough alongside Gabe just before Jordan, right when lockdown started, middle of March. And since then, I would like to say I've been doing nothing, but that hasn't been my experience. So I've not been allowed to do anything for Riviera Life Church charity, but when you're on furlough, you're allowed to volunteer for another charity. And as a church, we have a sister charity that runs alongside us called Riviera Life Link. And within Riviera Life Link, we have our Riviera Life storehouse and our newly formed Riviera Life Baby Bank. So I've been volunteering for those two projects, and that has kept me very busy, much more busy than I would have anticipated. So doing lots of shopping for Riviera Life Storehouse and working here on the days when the storehouse is open and setting up the baby bank and running it more or less every day, I would say, since lockdown. So been pretty busy, really.
Brilliant. So you kind of went on furlough at the very start. Jordan, what about yourself?
Yeah, so I went on furlough probably the beginning of April, and with my remit of overseeing and developing the mission of the church, it was quite clear that that was kind of very streamlined into Baby Bank and Storehouse. So again, it made sense for me to be able to go on furlough and to, like Jackie, to continue to volunteer for Riviera Life Link. So over that time, again, have been collecting food here on the Tuesday and a Thursday, distributing food parcels and just meeting with the local community that come and access that support, alongside having, a 6, 7, 8 month old little girl throughout lockdown, which has been entertaining, shall we say. And she has definitely kept us on our toes and kept us busy when we're not here doing storehouse and baby bank stuff. So, yes, so beginning of April, which feels like a million years ago, doesn't it now? But it's been an interesting time, definitely.
And I want to thank you guys for your commitment and your hard work, because I've watched you guys work and work and work.
Definitely.
So over to you, John. I feel like I've got my back to you, so
that's
I apologize.
All right. Not a problem.
Some might even say that that's my better side.
Well,
all right. So John, when did you go on furlough? And just give us a brief kind of description.
Yeah, so I went on furlough in July, beginning of July. Prior to that, I was still working at church. We decided off back of what Jordan's just said, that discipleship and some worship, that kind of stuff, was really, really valuable and really important in the life of our church at that time. So I was heavily involved in that. And I think at the time as well, just doing supporting and a bit of storehouse as well, which I thoroughly enjoyed. And then beginning of July, you said to me, John, it's time, enjoy a bit of rest, relaxation. Whether it was that, I'm not sure, because I still work in part-time for the college as well, and that was quite heavy. But in the middle of all that, you know, I've had time to refuel,
good,
relax, rest, read, grow as a leader, as a Christian, as a, you know, as a father as well, you know, and a husband. So it's been valuable time.
That's really good. And to save me kind of doing this, John, I'm going to really kind of continue with questioning you, if that's okay. Because I do realise and recognise that in the kind of the story of furlough and so on. Massive challenges for all of us and for our church definitely. Family as well.
Yeah.
John, what was maybe the biggest challenge that you faced as a as an individual, as a minister, as a dad, as a human being?
I think if I don't include furlough, and I just talk, I go back to the beginning of the season of COVID. It started a bit earlier for me personally and my family, because my grandmother passed away beginning of March, and that was a shock. We weren't expecting it, and by the time the funeral came, COVID had become, lockdown had become real. Wow. So you couldn't get to the funeral or anything like that. And so it was already at the start of the season, a mixture of emotions. Then lockdown happens. And as a parent, as a husband, you've got to start adapting. You're homeschooling kids. You're trying to keep down my church role, my college role, lecture students online, whilst trying to palm Jack off, my youngest in the background, was a challenge. And it's adapting to that. And Sarah, my wife, was frontline NHS, and so we've got all those challenges. And you guys know me, and you know I get stressed if I don't know order and plan. And we had to learn the process of managing emotions and frustrations and adapting to circumstances. Yeah. And I'm sure that's the same for a lot of people listening, but that was a challenge. But gradually you get new rhythms, new cycles of life. You go, this is okay. We're doing this, we're sorting this out. So actually where there's a challenge, there's an opportunity for something new. So
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Thanks, John, and thanks for, in a sense, just kind of showing that vulnerability in that answer. Jackie, I'm going to turn to you. Apart from being in lockdown with me, what was your biggest challenge over this period of time?
Well, you did just take the words right out of my mouth. But I guess for me, you know, compared to other people, lockdown hasn't been a great challenge at all. I don't suffer with anxiety. I've had a great peace in my heart, knowing that God's in control. So I haven't had any fear around, you know, what happens if I catch this disease, what's going to happen to me. I'm fit and healthy, well, relatively fit and healthy, and I thank God for that. So, you know, compared to other people, I haven't lost any people. So, do you know, I really thank God for my situation within this whole season of COVID.
Yeah.
I think, you know, my only real challenge is a bit like you, John. I like structure and I like to plan things and I like to know what's going to be happening. I like to work towards a goal and I like an action plan. And that has gone right out of the window with COVID. So
welcome to my life.
I know. And I live with someone who is an extremely opposite person to me. So he's very spontaneous and can't deal with plans at all. So we get on extremely well. But we appreciate each other's strengths, don't we? So that's been a great challenge for me. And I've just had to learn to just lay all that down and go, okay, God, you are in control of all of this. You have allowed this to happen and you have a plan. We don't know what it is. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but I submit to what your plans are. I submit to your authority and I'm just resting in you. And I think that's where the peace has come in this whole season. And I'm happy and content to go along with that, because you know, even as we are emerging from it, we still don't know what's going to happen, do we? None of us do. And I'm just grateful that I have a relationship with God and that he is in control of my life. And that's great.
That's brilliant. And I'm just thinking of that verse of scripture where it says, I'm going to misquote it so you can correct me. Don't lean on your own understanding. What's the actual
Proverbs?
What's the actual verse there, John?
Trust in the Lord.
Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. And also, that great preach from one of our youth guys: we serve the man who's got a plan.
Yes, yeah,
brilliant. Jordan, tell us about the challenge for you, because you are Mr. Extrovert.
Absolutely. So I know that I function best as in a room full of people. I love people. I love spending time with people. I am an extrovert. I get energy and buzz off a vibe, off the room full of people. So that's definitely one thing that
can,
I know.
Can I just say, when Jordan and I walk into a room, Jordan walked to the center of the room, I walked to the fringe of the room. Yeah. All right, we are opposites. Yeah. We really are.
I am very happy to be the center of attention, so it's fine.
Don't we know it?
So I am an extrovert. I enjoy that. So I know that that is an element of my character and my personality where I gain energy and I gain kind of purpose and momentum. And then I also know that if I have no structure and no routine and no discipline, I won't get anything done. I will kind of revert to that lazy side of me where I can happily do nothing for ages. So it's kind of a little bit of a contrasting kind of two parts to me, but needing people around me to gain energy and needing structure and discipline, and then all of a sudden, both of those things are totally removed from me. Totally gone, totally taken away from me. And, you know, I'm at home with Naomi and Maya Joy for what felt like months and months and months, and was actually
I think
a couple
Naomi
of days.
Said eternity.
Eternity, yeah. It felt eternity. Like an eternity. And then so not being able to gain that energy that you drive from with when you're with people and not having the structure and routine of work and having a small baby that is very demanding because she needs us to live and to grow has definitely been a challenge. Again, I totally echo what Jackie said, that my challenge feels kind of insignificant in comparison to so many of the challenges that so many people across our community and our nation and even our world has experienced. But, you know, when you are in those moments, it's a challenge. It's relative, isn't it? Your challenge is real to you. And whether it's a challenge of fear or anxiety or loneliness or not being around people or not being able to connect with those that you love, it can be a real extreme emotion in those times. So that was definitely a challenge that I experienced. And there's been some good that's been in it as well alongside that. But I would say that's probably been one of the biggest challenges for me personally.
Brilliant. Once again, the contrast of the three of you shows your differences. And it's wonderful to have a diverse team here. It really is. And I'm not going to go public on this, but I did miss you guys, all right? But so anyhow, in all of this, are there things that maybe you've learned about yourself? And I just want in one sentence, what did you learn about yourself? What was there anything? Anything that took you by shock, by surprise? Anything you kind of thought, yeah, I did really well there? You know, Jackie, put you on the spot.
I've just learned that actually I am okay just with the very simple, basic things in life.
Yeah.
Don't need all the trappings, but I'm happy and content just with who I am and just with, you know, I've been really blessed in life with my lifestyle and what God has blessed us with, but you know, when everything's stripped away from you and, you know, you can't go shopping, can't meet your friends and can't have all that Jordan's just talked about. And the only entertainment that you've got is go for a walk. I've really enjoyed just doing that and slowing down that pace of life that's been enforced on us. I've just really enjoyed that and been utterly content in that. I'm quite happy to carry on doing that.
Brilliant. That was a long sentence. A long, long sentence, but I'll let you off that. John, over my shoulder, what have you learned about yourself, mate?
I've learned that it is possible to juggle custard, I think. You know, that kind of like everything's happening and to adapt to new rhythms, new patterns, to take exactly as Jackie said, that slower pace of life, appreciate the small things, appreciate the simple things. Appreciate family, your neighbours, your community on a greater, deeper level than I've ever done before.
That's brilliant. I'm very tempted to send Jordan across there to get some custard
we could then
see you doing that.
Leadership lessons with John.
Jordan, what have you learned about yourself?
I suppose when you are somebody that is doing all the time, you place so much value in that.
I'm doing.
And you gain so much purpose from what you do. And I think in this process, God's really dealt with that in me, that my purpose and my identity should be nothing about what I do or a title that I have, but it should be totally birthed from my relationship with him.
Brilliant.
And I think this time has helped me to say, do you know what? Regardless of whether I can do what I love to do or not, whether I have a title or not, whether I can stand on a stage and do what I feel God's called me to do or not, that doesn't define who I am.
Yeah.
But actually, and that's not my purpose. My purpose is to just be with him. You know, be still and know that I am your God.
Beautiful.
And those moments where they've been tough and there's been some highs and lows, I've been able to strip away, you know, a week or two off doesn't do it. Yeah. Having this long period of time away has really got to some of the core things that I didn't even realize I had, insecurities I had that I didn't know, and things that I had to just deal with and say, okay, God, that's not who I am. Who I am is your child. Who
Brilliant.
I am is your son. And that's my identity. That's my purpose. And out of that flows everything else that becomes even more effective. So I've definitely learned that.
Brilliant.
It's so much less about me and what I do and the titles that I have. And it's more about my relationship and those quiet times. So absolutely.
Brilliant. I'm going to push in on that, because that actually really leads into another question. We've only got another two questions to go. And then you can kind of sigh with relief. But the question would be this. We're always wanting to hear God's voice.
Yeah.
And we need to hear his voice.
Mm.
The Gospel of John talks about the shepherd knowing his sheep and the sheep hearing his voice and following that voice. What has God been saying to you in those moments of isolation, in those moments of seclusion? What's God been saying, Jordan?
Yeah, so,
and guys, I'm going to ask you the same question.
So I'd say there's a couple things that have really jumped out to me in lockdown. And the first one was when I was reading a book by T.D. Jakes, Bishop T.D. Jakes, and he wrote a book called The Crushing. Yeah, and it's an incredible book. And if you haven't read it, I encourage you to read it, buy it, download it, get it. It's such a powerful book. And one of the things that he writes in it, he says, how does the seed know whether it's been buried alive or sown? And then he goes on to talk about how the experience for the seed is the same. It's buried in darkness and cold. It's in a vulnerable place. It's in a place where it's never been before. It's dark, it's damp, it's horrible. But actually, the reason it has been sown is by the intention of the sower. And there are times in our lives that we experience dark, horrible, scary, and anxious moments. And even maybe over the last few months, we've been in one of those moments. And sometimes we feel like we've been buried alive. But actually, if we believe that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives, maybe he has sown us into that place. Because in that place is where fertilization happens.
Yeah.
In that place is where growth takes place. And eventually, we know whether it's been sown or buried alive because there is fruit
True.
That happens and that grows and that takes place. And that was one thing that really stuck out to me, that actually the dark times in our lives are the moments where God has sown us, and we will see in the future. And I believe that we will see in 6 months, in a year, True. In 2 years, in 5 years, in 10 years, we will see some fruit from this season of darkness and cold
Prophesy
and horribleness
it.
And loneliness and fear and anxiety. We will see some fruit that will surpass our imagination that would never have happened if we hadn't have gone through that dark moment and that dark time. And that was something that I held on to through lockdown of saying, God, this might be horrible. This might be dark. We may not see any light at the end of the tunnel, but I believe you have sown me. You haven't buried me alive. You have sown me, and you are doing something in my life that I can't see, that is watering me, that is looking after me, that is protecting me, that is growing me. And then I started to think about the church, because I love our church.
Yeah.
I absolutely love every member of our church. And I have missed every single member of our church so much. You know, the hugs, the embrace, the laughter, the jokes, the times of worship, the times of response, the preaching. I've missed it. I've missed the buzz. And I was reflecting on a little bit of the series that we've been looking at, Nehemiah. And looking, every time I thought about Nehemiah, and the wall that he built, in my 21st century Western yes. thoughts, I imagined a pristine, perfect wall. And the other day, we decided to go for a drive on the moors, and we got lost and ended up driving for miles down this one road, because you're in the middle of nowhere, so there's no real place to turn around or stop. And we were driving along this road in the moors. I have no idea. I am not outdoorsy at all. I'm very comfortable indoors. I am not very comfortable outdoors. So we're driving along this road, and there's this wall right along the moors that if you actually look at the wall, yeah. it's full of misfigured, misjointed, odd, misfit stones.
Misshapes.
It doesn't look right. It doesn't look pretty. And it shouldn't at all work, because you've got one stone that should not be next to another stone. And if you put them together, surely that doesn't work. Surely that shouldn't have a purpose and be something that protects and has a barrier. But somehow these misfits, these misshapen stones put together, create this strong Great. Wall that lasts decade after
picture.
Decade after decade. And as I was driving, I just felt God say, that is what the church is all church. About. But yeah. we are these misfits. We are these misshapen, slightly weird or unique, however
peculiar.
You want to take, peculiar people that on our own don't really fit in any other setting, don't really fit. But actually, when we are together as the church, we find purpose and strength mm-hmm. and we become something very useful and very powerful. And I can't wait for my misfit of a shape to be reconnected to the misfit of your shape. And I'm so excited that furlough is ending,
yes.
that our misfit
Thank
shapes
you, Jesus.
Can come back together, because actually that, I believe, is where we find our true purpose and our true strength. So I think those are the two things that God's really spoken to
it's
me
great,
about
man.
And have helped me to, like, those moments where I was like, I'm just clinging on for a moment. This day, I'm just getting through it. Like, come on, God, let's get to the end of it. And other days where it was a bit better and I was still holding on to those things. So I think those are two
That's
things
great.
For me.
There's a great, great teaching series, stroke yeah. preach in that. I'm going to go to another misshape, all right? And I haven't got the courage to go to Jackie on this one. So I'm going to go directly to you, John.
Brilliant.
Misshape number two. What's God been saying to you, mate?
Oh, so much stuff. But I think at the beginning of COVID, one of the things that blessed probably the whole world, the Christian world, and certainly the UK, was that song that was written by Elevation Church, The Blessing. The blessing. I've even sung that a few times when we've done our recorded services, and it's a powerful song, and it's taken from Numbers 6, and it's based on the priestly blessing. And it says these words: "The Lord bless you and keep you, and make his face to shine upon you, and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace." And I remember I was driving up to Wales to see my grandmother, who is in a coma after a stroke that she had. And I heard that for the first time. And I think I cried the whole way as I heard the words for the first time of this blessing that had just been penned. And I start to think about the blessing. God wants to bless us. God wants to bless us. And this priestly blessing is something that we can all give to our families, to our children, that we can pray to our communities, that I can pray for my church, the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. You see, my grandmother and grandfather, they prayed every single night for their children, for their grandchildren, right. for their great-grandchildren by name. And they prayed blessing. They prayed, God protect each one of them. God provide for each one of them. And I thought to myself, I want to be that person that prays the blessing of God on my family, on my children, on my neighborhood, on my church. It's a prayer for
it
all
is.
Generations. God bless you. God keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. And that has just been the theme. And obviously, they released a UK version over the UK, which is a blessing to Christians and non-Christians alike, because we want God to shine his face on our nation, on our country, to be gracious to us. I found another interpretation of that. Let me just share it with you. God will kneel before you, presenting gifts, and will guard you with a hedge of protection. I thank you, God, that you've done that for me, my family, my church family, during this season. He will illuminate the wholeness of his being towards you, bringing order, and he will give you comfort and sustenance. I thank God for that. He will lift up his wholeness of being and look upon you, and he will set in place all you need to be whole and complete. Right. And God, that's the blessing on our church. That's the blessing on our communities. And as I started running, I've started running as part of my new routines, my new disciplines. And as I'm running the streets of the hardened streets of Paignton, and I'm running, but what I've got this song in my ears, in my earbuds, and that song is playing every time I run. And as I run, I'm praying that prayer over every single house, every single street. God, would you bless us? And pray it over your family, pray it over your street, your community, our church, our bay. And I believe we've seen, we've witnessed, and we will continue to see and witness the blessing of God on our lives. The greatest days are ahead of us, and God is going to show his favor and blessing on us. So that's where I'm at there.
That's brilliant. We are in danger of running over on our time. I'm still coming to this misshape on my left-hand side. But John, you have become multi-talented. You can juggle custard, and now you're running the streets as well.
Absolutely.
Absolutely brilliant, mate. Jackie, what has God been saying to you specifically over this time?
Okay, so just a couple of things, because obviously it's been a long time. Just from Nehemiah. The very first bit of Nehemiah, where Nehemiah is in living in comfort, although in living in exile as a captive, but he's in the king's palace. But news comes to him of the city that he loves, God's city, and he understands that the city is broken. The walls are broken down, and it does something to Nehemiah's heart. It breaks him. And he goes to God in prayer. And I was interested to understand the prayer that he prays. It's not a prayer that he says to God, oh, God, do something about this. So God, send someone to mend it. What he goes to God with is, God, can you make a way for me to go and mend the walls of the city? He realizes that he is the answer to that problem. And I loved that, but it was a real challenge to my own heart, because I know that we're living in a city, in a community, in a nation that is broken. The very fabric of our communities are broken down, and they require people to get that, to have that heart response to that, that breaks our hearts, but also realize that we are the answer to that. We are the solution to that problem, and go to God like Nehemiah. And his prayer was, God, let the king release me from what I'm doing currently, but also let the king give me favor and resources to build these walls again, so that that city is restored again to greatness. And I don't know about you, but I have a real passion, and it just like goes right through me, that I want our communities, I want our nation, I want our cities to be great again. I want God's kingdom to be established in our communities and our nation,
in our time.
And just walking around, like you said, John, you know, walking around. And I've had that blessing song on my phone, and I've been playing it, not on my earphones because I hadn't had any, but just out loud, and I've been singing it, and I've been singing the blessing over our community, and just going, God, bless our community, what can we do? And I've been reading a book, and it's called Scattered Servants by Alan Scott. And it's called Unleashing the Church to Bring Life to the City.
Book.
And it is a great book. And it's all about not doing church on a Sunday, but doing church outside. And that brings to the second challenge that I've had, what I've just been challenged with. And it's just one verse out of the Psalms, just one phrase out of the Psalms, Psalm 84, where it says, the psalmist says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. And I haven't been able to get away from this. And it's really interesting, isn't it, that when COVID started, the authorities in our land shut the doors of our churches. And no one was allowed to go in to our churches. The big no entry sign was put on the doors of our churches. And no one was allowed to come in and worship and use these places as they were meant to be. But you know what? We have been really privileged because we run our storehouse out of our churches. We've been allowed to open our door, not for what we probably would have wanted, but we've been allowed to have the door open. And you know what? We've had people come to the door of our church, to the door of the house of God, to actually come and have their needs met. Yeah. So we've had needy people come that wouldn't ever come into this house ever before, but they've come to the doors. We've had people representing them. We've had people from, like Jordan has said before, from social care, from probation, from all kinds of walks of life to come representing needy people. They've come to the doors of this house. And they have been to the doors and seen what we do. And so we have been doorkeepers. We've had that privilege during this lockdown time of being doorkeepers. We have had the privilege as doorkeepers of being messengers of God, representatives of who God is, and therefore replicates of his nature. True. We've had that responsibility of replicating his nature, his gentleness, his kindness, his generosity, so that people, when they come, they meet with God himself through meeting with us. We have been able to give the message of the church, the message of the kingdom, that God is a loving God and wants to restore to people life and hope. And you know what? It's been an absolute privilege. And I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. It's not about sitting or standing on this platform. I would exchange it any day. And for people who really know me, this is not glamorous and I do not attain to it. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Great. Let me be at that door and welcome people in. Let me be at that door and be a messenger. In fact, do you know what? Let me go beyond that door and let me go out of this house into our broken cities and mend our cities. Build those broken walls and see restoration come to our cities.
Fantastic. A great response again, Jackie and Jordan and John, thank you for that. I am aware that we've taken more time than we would normally do, and it's always dangerous to give three preachers a microphone and ask them to summarize something in one sentence, because you get little mini preachers. And I'm just very grateful that you didn't ask me any questions, because we'd be here for another 3 days if I had that. But please summarize in one sentence, what are you excited about for the future? What are you looking forward to? Jackie, go first.
Okay, I'm going to take it from this book that I've read, and it is simply this. I'm excited that ordinary believers, our church family, go beyond Sunday services to bring life to broken cities.
Fantastic. John, and then when you're finished, onto the keys, mate.
All right, then. I am looking forward to the day that we can all gather with masks off and raise our voices as one big anthem of praise to the King of Heaven and just worship him with free abandon, and that day's coming.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Go on to the keys, mate. Jordan?
So I'm excited for what I believe we've been on a journey for this year. When we embarked this year, we talked about this would be a year of influence for us, and we maybe didn't anticipate that it would go this way, but actually I think this has made us more influential in our community than
Very
we could
true.
Ever have been and imagine. And actually I believe, and I know we believe, that this is the beginning. This isn't like the most influential we're ever going to be and let's just pat ourselves on the back and kind of say we've done a good job and that's it, but actually it's the beginning of this influence opening, and excited to see where that's going to lead us to and what God's going to do in us and through us as that just unfolds. So absolutely
fantastic. I want to thank you guys for sharing And I trust our church family, just seeing you again, having a glimpse of you, and not just seeing the same people. You know, some of these guys haven't seen you for a period of months now, and who they're seeing, what they're recognizing is something different, because your lives have been transformed because of what you've gone through. It's the sowing of the seed, Jordan, from TD Jakes. It's the scattered servants, and it's the blessing, John. So come on, John, lead us in a closing. I'm going to ask Jordan and Jackie to vacate the platform, and John, sing whatever you're going to do, and then close the gathering for us.
You are way maker, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are way maker, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are way maker, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are way maker, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. Oh God, love you, Lord. Amen. He's the way maker, miracle worker. Hope you've been blessed, and have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday. God bless you.